Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
Got a little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
It's Friday, so that means it's time for a Triple M footy news update with Tommy Brown. My name's Rudy. I've got Tommy here in the studio. We've got a heap of stuff to get through. The Richmond nightclub incident is lingering still. There's been some chat about Patrick Cripps' bad back, Jeff Kennett on the AFLW, and plenty more. Tommy, how are you?
Good morning, Rudy. Great to be here.
Yes, indeed. Let's kick off with Richmond. What's going on there?
Basically, the latest on Richmond is that Gil McLachlan spoke yesterday in regards to the nightclub incident that saw Rioli end up with a badly bruised eye and face, and Shay Bolton end up with needing surgery on his wrist and will miss 3 or 4 weeks. This is what Gil McLachlan had to say on the incident.
I respect Damon's view, it's Damon's view, but it's different, is that, you know, I think our players, and I ask all players, I don't condone violence, and that they should be walking away. It's difficult at times. I know that provocation exists and circumstances are always relevant.
Rudy, in terms of the AFL's investigation, they've stepped it up during the week. I think the investigators, it's fair to say, didn't doubt Richmond's version of events, but certainly want to verify them, in particular whether the Richmond players, you know, the timeline in particular, because I don't think the AFL wasn't told straight away. The AFL investigators are going pretty hard on this. I don't think they can get access at this stage to the CCTV, is what I've heard, because the venue has the CCTV both inside and outside. And I think the venue is pretty successful. So I think the venue would be reluctant to sort of make it look like sort of their version of Fight Club, because they obviously don't want to, you know, give that impression. So I'd be surprised if the CCTV comes out. I've heard from people, a witness inside, that the fight was particularly vigorous between, obviously, Bolton, Rioli, and the male that said the highly inappropriate remark to Rioli's girlfriend, Paris Lawrence. And in terms of outside, witnesses have also told me this week that the Richmond guys waited for about half an hour trying to get back into the venue. And at one point, Bolton, I think, was sort of basically shouting out threats to the bloke, the alleged assailant inside, saying he wants to sort of square up with him, basically. And they were pretty aggressive remarks. I don't think Richmond refute that. I think Richmond's viewers, well, they just wanted to try and obviously look after their mate. And it was a natural sort of remonstration. And I think whether the AFL acts on this now will depend on whether the AFL thinks the players should have, in effect, walked away from the fight and walked away outside. So the AFL certainly not ruling out in or anything out at the moment, the investigation continuing. So it's an interesting situation. Should the AFL fine or sanction Richmond or the players for effectively engaging in a fight and then hanging outside the front of the nightclub? I'm not sure.
I'll give you my opinion on this one, because I actually am qualified to talk about this. I spent about 10 years working in pubs back in the day, and that all sounds pretty normal to me, really. Like, once a fight breaks out, for people to hang around and for there to be words said.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think Richmond say that, and I don't think there's much doubting Richmond's version of events inside, apart from the fact that the fight was aggressive, and you can see that from Rioli's face. Clearly it was aggressive. And in regards to outside, that's pretty normal conduct. Having said all that, we do a lot of stories, Rudy, on 7 News about one punch, even on Triple M News about one punch victims that can kill people. And you're always better off walking away from a fight than engaging in one. So maybe the AFL wants to take a stand on that. Maybe they don't. That's up to them. It's not for me to comment on.
Fair enough. Sure. All right, let's move on from that one. Patrick Cripps has been in the news. Michael Gleeson, The Age, reported yesterday that he's had a back fracture.
Yeah, so Michael Gleeson, to paraphrase, reported in The Age yesterday that Patrick Cripps has a back fracture. Now, I understand that was has, not had. I stand to be corrected there. And then David Teague, in his press conference yesterday, came out and said this.
No, he's fine. He's doing all the training. You watch training today, he'll compete everything in training. He doesn't have a fractured back.
So in regards to the back fracture, Rudy, Teague says that he hasn't currently got a back fracture, isn't currently having injections, and had a back injury earlier in the year, which I reported on, and I even reported on a groin issue as well. And in Teague's view, Cripps is running out fit and is therefore declared fit to play. So it's a bit of a sort of he said, she said sort of story, where my guess is that Gleeson's probably right or substantially right, according to a source, and then Carlton have gone and said the other thing. So that's interesting. It's obviously interesting in the context, though, of Cripps' fitness at the moment and his contract. I mean, he was a little bit quiet last weekend, 15 touches. There's one view that if you run out, you're basically declaring yourself fit and there's no excuses. I'm sure Cripps would share that view. Carlton or Teague shares that view. But it is interesting in the context of his pace, how he's going, what Carlton should pay him. You know, it's a pretty interesting issue.
Very, very interesting issue, and will play out over the season. It'd be interesting to see if they rest him at some point, because he does look, I'm not going to speak to injuries or anything, but he does look tired.
He looks tired, sort of, I reckon, one and a half in every four games. You know, he's sort of quite, reasonably explosive in two or three games. Then we sort of get reminded that maybe he's carrying an issue. Having said that, you can't keep, not that Cripps is doing this, but you can't keep referring to an issue that you don't admit to as an excuse for bad performance. He's not performing badly either. He's playing his role. So he's a beauty.
Dale Thomas was pretty effusive the other day in his praise of him on the Midweek Rub, saying that the selflessness of Cripps to go in there and sort of be that battering ram is allowing Sam Walsh to flourish, and he's playing the
exactly. And as I said the other day, if Cripps was to go to Western Australia or another club, guess what? All the Carlton talk about next year would be, geez, we need a big-bodied midfielder to take some of the pressure off Walsh.
Very, very true.
Cripps is playing his role.
Exactly. Very, very true. You wanted to chat about Jeff Kennett. Now, he sort of half signposted this the other day, but he spoke at length yesterday. Hawthorn have so they've pushed back expansion of the AFLW for another season, and Jeff Kennett is unhappy that Hawthorn won't have a women's AFL side soon.
He told me yesterday, he said, yes, it's a disgrace. AFL discriminating against four clubs. Their charter is to govern in the interests of all 18 clubs equally. Another example of no leadership by the AFL, simply deferring decision-making and making sure if any of the four clubs are admitted, they can't prepare professionally. He wasn't happy that Hawthorn's decision on an AFLW team has been delayed, and all the clubs concerned, Essendon, Hawthorn, was it Port and Sydney?
Yeah.
They all have to submit formal proposals to get an AFLW team. I respect Jeff's views. They're quite strong, and it put AFLW in the news yesterday, which is always good. I think AFLW deserves as much publicity as it can get, which is good for the competition. Having said all that, Jeff's the first to say that the Giants and the Suns need to be sustainable. So without turning the argument around on Jeff, I guess if he was in the room, I'd say, well, Jeff, the AFLW also needs sustainable expansion. So surely the AFL is being prudent here. So I can see both sides of the story. Hawthorn, of course, want to expand to Dingley, and the AFLW team, I imagine, would help the government funding as well. So Hawthorn, want an AFLW team for all the right reasons, and B, as part of their growth plan, would also like it to help getting Dingley on the right track. So I think it's an interesting discussion.
Very, very much so, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
Should I give you? It's a disgrace.
There we go. That's what we wanted, Tommy. That's what we want.
Again, discriminating against all the AFL clubs.
Yeah. Now you had Michael Hurley on the agenda.
Yeah, Hurls really wants to play this year, but as Essendon get further and further out of finals contention, and he continues his recovery, which I think is going okay. My information this week is that he won't play this year. I hope he does. I hope I'm wrong, and you can all tweet me and all the rest of it. But my sources suggest this week that's becoming increasingly unlikely.
Yeah, that's a really sad story. I'm just hope that he's well.
Yeah, I think he's getting better. So that's the positive thing. He had that nasty infection. They're always bad. Just on Zach Jones, I reported yesterday that he had surgery on his quad. That's a blow for the Saint. Those quad tendon surgeries are 8, 10, 12 weeks, long time.
Mm. I think he's been quietly important for them as well.
Yes, so do I.
They look so much better when he's playing. His brother as well is also, he did a hamstring at training. So Nathan Jones
that.
Is
bad week for the Joneses.
Yeah, very bad week for the Joneses. Willie Rioli?
Yeah, interesting. So 12-month, $500 good behaviour bond for getting caught with cannabis at Darwin Airport on the way, I think, to the Tiwi. Ross Lyon on Footy Classified this week, and Michael Long in Robbo's article in the Herald Sun this morning, both saying that Rioli deserves another chance. That's obviously one for West Coast now to ponder, the AFL Players Association and the AFL. They'll have to work through that. Obviously a complex situation, but I do know that the West Coast guys like Trevor Nisbet, the CEO, and their footy manager, Craig Vozzo, and also Adam Simpson, they're very smart blokes. So I'm sure they'll work it all out. It's a tough one because there's the community expectations on drugs, and there's Willie, who we all love watching playing footy.
Exactly, yeah. So it's, as you said, very, very delicate there. Before we go, Tommy, it's a big weekend. We sort of like to do this right at the end of our Friday show. Big weekend for a few teams out there.
Collingwood. Sorry, but they are not travelling that well on the ladder. They face Sydney tomorrow. They beat North last week in what I thought was one of the scrappiest games I'd seen in ages. And I stay away from the footy analysis, but it wasn't great to watch. And they've got a really tough contest against Sydney in Sydney tomorrow.
That's surely, Sydney is a tough away trip for anyone. Surely losing that isn't going to move the needle on anything bucks wise moving forward, I wouldn't have thought.
No, oh, it shouldn't, but then they've got their ledger's going to start to look like 2.7 or 2.8 or something like that, and that starts to look pretty scrappy, really.
It does, I suppose,
But let's not prejudge, they might win. So
not prejudge. It's also a big weekend quietly for Hawthorn and North Melbourne. They play each other in Tassie. Hawthorn, obviously, not going great. North Melbourne, we all know about.
So Hawthorn should get some players back this week.
Yes.
Hopefully Gunston had back spasms in the warm-up last week, and maybe O'Meara?
I believe so, yeah.
And North, obviously desperate for a win. North look good in patches of the game, but then sort of forget how to score, don't they?
They have their own injury problems as well. I remember hearing earlier this week they have less than 30 fit players across the entire list.
Which That's never a good situation, especially when you are as undermanned as they are.
Yeah, indeed. So there's a big watch on that. Very, very big watch on that game. It's a quietly big one for Richmond as well. Tough loss to Geelong last week. They're playing at Marvel Stadium against GWS. They don't like to go to Marvel very much. Brendan Gale said as much yesterday. They prefer this game was at the MCG.
And the Giants are showing plenty of glimpses. Richmond 4-4. So it's a bit of a sort of a barometer game, isn't it? They're eighth on the ladder, and they'd find themselves in an uncomfortable position if they can't knock off the Giants.
Yeah, missing like quite a lot of
most of their midfield
depth as well.
It's like a premiership midfield.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Including Cotchin and
Kane Lambert,
correct,
and now Shea Bolton as well. So that's a big game. You'd think Richmond would bounce back to that one, and then also massive on at the same time. Western Bulldogs play Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval. That's a massive game.
That's huge. Port are so good and can be reasonably bad, but not at home. So that's going to be an absolute beauty.
I think they should be pretty warm favourites at home. But that Bulldogs midfield, oh boy!
I reckon they're missing. Anyone. They're definitely missing Dunkley though.
Yes, they are definitely missing Dunkley. Yeah. I think that's So we'll know a bit more about
how's
quite
the
a few
man
teams.
Love between Dunkley and Treloar.
It's the best, isn't it?
I love it. I was a bit skeptical. Well, I was a bit skeptical to begin with, and now they love each other.
I actually listened to. I was listening to him talk about it. He's sometimes on the ESPN Footy Tips podcast, and he basically just became. He moved to the Bulldogs, and they just became mates pretty much straight away. Just clicked straight away, and they're best mates. It's great. It's really wholesome. It's cool.
The other interesting story I'll leave you with today is, I think in the Herald Sun this morning, it's been written up online. Patrick Dangerfield. He could be an architect. Have you seen his house that's taking shape? He's sort of posting pictures of it down at Moggs Creek.
Is it a house or is it like a full blown suburb?
It's a full blown modern mansion with his lookouts. He's done a good job.
He's the mayor of Moggs Creek down there, isn't he?
He's the mayor of the Surf Coast.
Indeed. All right, let's leave it at that, Tommy. Thanks for your time this week. We'll see you again Monday morning. Have a good weekend in footy.
Thanks, Rudy.